Okay, the parash is Vayetze. Even though I have a sheet thing. Even though it's Thanksgiving, we'll have a shiur anyway. We'll learn a little. The parasha begins, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. The word Harana means to Haran, to in the direction of Haran. So of course, the first difficult thing is Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana. It seems to be too much information. If the pasuk would have just written that he went to Haran, so then we would understand that he left Be'er Sheva. I mean, it's all the same. Leaving Be'er Sheva and going to Haran. Then it says Vayifga Ba'Makom. In modern Hebrew, the word paga has more to do with coming upon something, like walking into a wall, you would say. That's vayivga b'makom. And here the word vayivga b'makom is unclear. Does it mean Haran, that's the makom, or some other makom? I mean, there's something vayelech sham, vayalen sham, and he went to sleep there. Kiva Hashemesh, because the sun went down, also seems to be rather extraneous. Usually people go to sleep when it gets dark. I mean, why does the Torah have to tell us? He went to sleep because Ba Hashemesh. And here you have the famous story, which is hard to understand without some sort of interpretation. He took a stone and he put it Mira Ashotav, right? Mashotav, you see the word Rosh in that word. And that means he put it in under his head. Mira Ashotav. Vaishkav Bamakom Ahu. And he went to sleep in that place. All of which, the whole Pasuk seems to be telling us things that are so simple and straightforward that we wonder why the Torah had to tell them to us. Vayishkav makom hahu. And he went to sleep. So, we don't know exactly where he is, and we don't know exactly why it's important that he went to sleep. And then the Pasuk says that he went to sleep because it got dark. And even though the Torah emphasizes the place, he was in a place, we don't know what that place is. Vayivga b'makom. The third pasuk, Vayachalom v'nei sulam utzav arza. Now things get exciting. He had a dream. And in the dream there was a ladder. And the bottom of the ladder was on the earth. V'rosho magia shamayma v'hinei malachei elokim olim v'yordim bo. So what I'm particularly interested in the first two psukim. What do the first psukim tell us about Yaakov Avinu? Where did he go? Where was he? Why is it either all trivia? Or alternatively, why is it important for us to know all of these things? So let's see how Rashi explains the psukim. Vayetze Yaakov, Rashi says, Vayodei, Shebishvil Shiraot Benot Knan, Be'enei Yitzchak Aviv, Alach Esav O Yishmael. But at the end of the last parasha, we learn that Esav, Yaakov's brother, went to Yishmael to find a wife. Because Yitzchak declared that they should marry Mi Benot Knan, girls from Knan. If Sika Inyan V'Parashato Shel Yaakov, right, there's kind of a break in the story of Yaakov, Uchtiv, Vayera Isav ki Berech v'chule v'shigamach hazal inyan harishon. So that what Rashi is explaining is the order of things. That Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva actually took place after Avram Avinu, after Yitzchak and Rivka told him that he should go away to find a wife or run away from Esav, so he did it. Now the second Rashi, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, לא היה צריך לכתוב אלא וילך יעקב חרנה. As Rashi says, that if you base yourself on the principle of efficiency, that the Torah doesn't say things that it doesn't have to say, which is a principle that Rashi was very much in favor of, and that the Medrash was very much in favor of. And any time there's an apparent redundancy, the Medrash tries to explain it. So here, this whole pasuk contains one tremendous redundancy. And Rashi says, Lo yitzrich lichtov ela vayelech Yaakov Charana. That Yaakov went to Haran. If he went to Haran, we know that he left Beersheba. Right? There's no other way. Can't be in two places at the same time. The Lama is Kiryat Siyato. So why does the pasuk mention that Yaakov Avinu left? Ela magid she yitziat tzadik min hamakom oseh roshem. This is almost Kabbalistic. You know what a roshem is? A roshem is like you have a signet ring and you press it into wax. You know, you have a ring, and on the ring you have your initials or your signature or some kind of a fancy thing. You press it into wax. This is the old days they used to do this. You know, today in our world, the old days could be 2 weeks ago. But it was more than 2 weeks ago. You took a ring and you had you engrave the ring with the seal of the king. You poured wax on the letter. Instead of licking it shut, you poured wax, and then you put the ring, and it left an impression. That's called a roshem. The amazing thing about a roshem, the amazing thing about a roshem, is you don't really leave anything. Right? What you put in the ring, you take back. But what's left? What's left is the roshem that the ring made. The impression. The impression. So there's nothing there. So this is used by Chazal to explain what the Pasuk Medrash says, V'yetze Yaakov mi-Beersheva. Yaakov left Beersheva, Shebizman she-Tzadik ba'ir hu hoda hu ziva hu adara. So when the Tzadik is in a place, so he provides that place with great honor. Right, yatzal misham panadara panaziva panadara v'chein. In other words, when the tzaddik leaves, he takes all of these things with him. But he leaves a roshem. You know, his people realize that they're missing it. If the tzaddik had never been there, so people would think, you know, everything is fine. You don't need a... But if there was once a tzaddik in the city, so when he leaves the city, he also leaves an impression. Everybody knows he's missing, that there's something lacking in the city. So that's called Vayetze Yaakov Mibeersheva. So Rashi says there's a problem in the Pasuk. There are too many words. And then Rashi says, okay, Vayetze Yaakov Mibeersheva means Panaziva, Panahadara, the tzaddik is left, and then Vayetze Charana, that's the story. That he went on the way to Haran. Okay. So Rashi leaves us definitely with the impression that there's a redundancy in the Pasuk. That when it says, Vayetze Yaakov mi-Beersheva, those words are unnecessary. And even though Rashi gives them an explanation, they says that teaches us something. Nevertheless, the something that it teaches us has nothing to do with the story itself. And so the feeling of redundancy remains with us. Right, there's a certain feeling, even though it's reduced by Rashi, nevertheless, it's there. Then we're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayifgaba makom. Vayifgaba makom. Rashi says, Lo yizkir katab ba'ezim ba'katuv ba'ezim makom. Ela ba'makom and yizkar ba'makom acher. He says the Pasuk doesn't tell us what the makom is. So it must be some well-known place. If the Pasuk says, Vayifgaba makom. So the pasuk assumes we know what that is. So it must be some previously mentioned makom. What's the previously mentioned makom? Hu har ha-Moria. Shenemar lo, vayarta makom mirachok. That in the pasuk, har ha-Moria is also called makom. That Avraham Avinu, when he was on his way to har ha-Moria, and so that Rashi says that even though makom is a common noun, Right? It can be applied to any place. But in this case, it says Ham. Right, if got ba makom, and Rashi explained that ba makom is like the same as, if you remember Biktuk from Kita Dalit or something, it's a long time ago, Kita Dalit. Ba makom means be ha makom. Right, it's a contraction. Ha is the definite article. Ha makom means the place that is called makom. Behamakom. You see the vocalization? You see there's a dagesh in the mem. They used to say, when I was a kid, they used to teach us that a dagesh chazak came because there was a missing letter. And the missing letter in this case is ha. Instead of behamakom, it says vamakom. Right? That's how we learn. This, of course, is completely incorrect. Nevertheless, it was a good way of remembering what it is that is going on here. But believe me, it's incorrect. Ve'gaba makom, lo iskia katu ve'ezer makom. But now we know that it says hamakom. We're talking about a previously mentioned place called makom, and that previously mentioned place is Har HaMoriah. That's where he was. He was in Har HaMoriah. Then Rashi gives a second interpretation. Vayifga. He says, what does Vayifga mean? Kemo upaga b'yericho. Upaga b'daveshet. Daveshet, name of a place. So that Vayifga, according to Rashi, means he reached the place. He reached the place. What place did he reach? He reached Har HaMoriah. Right? Vayifga b'makom. The same as Yoshua ben Nun reached Yericho. Or Yeshua ben Nun reached Daveshet. That's Vayifga, the word paga. So even though the word paga sounds like it's the meeting of a person and a wall. Like you hit a wall, but you could also say that about getting to a place. You get to Yericho, Vayifga b'Yericho. You get to Daveshet, Vayifga. Then Rashi, so Rashi has explained the Pasuk, right? The Pasuk says, Vayifga b'makom. And what does it mean? He got to Har HaMoriah. But Rashi again is concerned always about the fact that two things. First of all, why would the Torah hide that? Why did the Torah say, Gaba Makom? Why couldn't the Torah said, Higia la Har HaMoriah? Why this difficulty that we have in discovering things always? And then, of course, the question is, why use the word vayifga? The word vayifga usually means like a person against an inanimate object, like you walk into a pole. That's called vayifga. Why not just write higia lamakom? Why vayifga? What's the importance of that word? So Rashi goes on and he says, Rabotenu pirshu lishon tefillah. Now that is really an unexpected comment. Rabotenu pirshu lishon tefillah kimo v'altiv gabi, don't pray to me. V'lamadnu shetikein tefillat arvit. And from this we learn that Yaakov Avinu was the one who created Arvit. Not created prayer, not created the prayer that Jews pray, but created the time. He said, this time is also a time for prayer, right? It was getting dark, the sun was going down, he was getting tired. He said, we better pray. We better daven right now. That's Vayifga. And then Rashi says, and again, Rashi is interested in this treasure hunt aspect of the Torah. If, in fact, the Torah wanted to tell us that Yaakov Avinu prayed, why not use a word in Hebrew that means to pray? Why use a word like vayivga, which, you know, only like somebody who writes dictionaries might imagine that it means to pray? Why do that to us? Shinaka Dubalokadava Yipalel Lemat Lelametcha Shekavtsalo Haaretz. Lelametcha Shekavtsalo Haaretz. What does that mean? Well, in this particular case, I haven't got a clue what it means, but Gafsalo Aretz means he went a far, he went a long distance, a far distance, he went a distance in a moment. It was like a jump. Instead of going from here to there, he went from here to here. It was a second, that's Gafsalo Aretz, Kershav Farash, the Perek Gid HaNasheh. So if I had to explain this pasuk according to Rashi, if I had to explain this pasuk according to Rashi, I don't know. I mean, so what happened? Yetze Yaakov, he was a great tzaddik. He left a roshah. He left an impression. Vayelech Harana. Vayivgaba Makom, what's the Makom? Haramuria. Vayivgaba Makom, he davened in Haramuria. What was he davening about? I don't know exactly. I mean, I don't know, why did he think that this was the time when he had to daven? All of that is not known to me. Now, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. There's a Gemara in the Sanhedrin that has a very precise description of what happened in this particular case that Rashi does not quote. That is to say, Rashi does not quote it in his commentary on the Chumash. But everybody knows this Gemara. In fact, everybody knows this Gemara because it appears twice in Shas. Once in Sanhedrin, and once in Chulin. So if you've learned Chulin, you haven't learned Sanhedrin. If you learn Sanhedrin, you haven't learned Chulin, you're going to know this Gemara. And it's not clear why Rashi didn't quote. Let's look at what the Gemara says. Tanu Rabbanan, we could skip a little. That's a good way. We're on top of it. The fifth line. You see the fifth line, Yaakov Avinu? The topic is, Tana Rabbanan, look at the first line. Tana Rabbanan, there's a braita, right? Tanaitic statement. Shlosha kafza lahem ha'aretz. There were three people who traversed great distance in an instant. That's kafza lahem ha'aretz. Eliezer, Yaakov, Avisha, ben Tsruya. So we're interested in Yaakov Avinu. Look at the fifth line. Yaakov Avinu, Dichtiv, Vayetze Yaakov Mibeir Shava Vayelich Harana, Vektiv, Vayevka Bamakov, Vayelan Shav, Kibar Shemesh. So where's the Kofza Ha'aretz? Where's the Kfitzat HaDerech exactly? The Gemara says, Ki Mata L'choran Omar. Mata L'choran means when he arrived at Choran. So the Gemara tells the story as follows. Vayetze Yaakov Mibeir Sheva, that's an ethical statement. Vayelech Harana means, not that he was on his way to Haran, but that he came to Haran, he actually got there. Ki Mata L'Haran, when he got to Haran, Amar, Efshar Avati Amakosh Yitpal Lubo Avatai Varilot Pal Altebo. You mean I was on the way to Haran, so I passed Yerushalayim. I mean, that was the way. I passed Yerushalayim, passed Aron Moriah. Yaakov Avinu suddenly wakes up after this long trip, and he's in Haran, and he said, you know, I passed Aron Moriah. I didn't daven it. I didn't do anything. He says, there's no language in the Medrash. Efshar, Avarti HaMakosh, Balad HaMavadar, Vavilot Kalad Bo. Efshar? Is this possible? Well, it's not only possible, that's exactly what he did, according to the Gemara. He went through Haram Moriah, and he paid no attention, he just kept going. Goy le-mehedar, ratza lachzor. So Yaakov Avinu decided that he had done the wrong thing, and he wants to go back to Haram Moriah. Kevan de-her bedatei le-mehedar. Since he thought in his mind to go back, kavtza le'ara. So the kvitz of the derech that Yaakov Avinu had, according to the Gemara, was that he was able to go from Haran back to Haram Moriah in an instant. Even though it took him as long as it took him to get from Be'er Sheva to Haran, but as soon as he thought to himself that he did the wrong thing and he wants to go back to Haram Moriah, instantly, God brought him back to Haram Moriah. Biyad, Vayivgaba Makom. Which means, Vayad Vayivkam HaMakom. That's the pshat. Immediately, he was there. So that Vayivkam HaMakom means Vayelech Harana, he was in Haran, Vayivkam HaMakom. And instantly, he was returned back to the place that he thought he wanted to be in, which was Har HaMoriah. Har HaMoriah. The Varachet. Alternatively, Ein Pegia Ela Tfila Shinema Vata Altit Pala Barab Mazel Bisim Adam Rina Utfila Altit Gabi. Alternatively, Vayivga Bamakol means, and immediately davened. So Vayivga either means he was immediately in that place, or he immediately began to daven when he went to, when he went to Haran. Vayetzi, look to the Rashi. This is the Rashi on the Gemara. This is the Rashi on the Gemara. The Rashi on the Gemara says, Vayetzi Yaakov v'Beishev v'yelech Harana, Alma, Alma's ergo. Therefore, right, therefore, Baal Haran. That Yaakov Avinu actually came to Haran. Uktiv, Vayivka b'makom, Shadayin lo higia l'Haran. Shaya Adayin Bivet El. So Rashi says that there's a problem in reading the pasuk, that if he got already to Haran, I'm going to say Vayiv Gaba Makom. Vayiv Gaba Makom means that he didn't get to Haran yet. He was still in Beit El. So this, because of this kind of contradiction, the Chachomim came up with the idea that Vayiv Gaba Makom means Kafzala Are. Miyad Vayivka b'makom. That's why the word Vayivka is used instead of Vayagia. Okay. So if I had to summarize what we learned in these two psukim with the Gemara, I would say there's a certain lack of clarity here about what Yaakov Avinu actually did. When I read the pasuk, I think that he went from Beit El to Haran, but he Vayivka b'makom, that was Har HaMoriah. And he decided to go to sleep there, and he had the dream. Chazal added an extra motif, something that's not clearly stated in the parasha, but there are hints to it. And that extra motif is that actually Yaakov Avinu came to Haran. When he came to Haran, he felt badly that he didn't consider what he should have considered and go to Daven in Har HaMoriah. And then immediately, Kafza lo HaDerech, and then immediately, Vayivka b'makom he davened. So, it's not clear what the lesson is. So, why didn't Yaakov Avinu stop the first time around? Why was it he came to Haran, he decided that he should go back to? I mean, if you take the words of Chazal in a kind of a literal, straightforward way. I mean, what happened to Yaakov Avinu? I mean, why didn't he do the right thing the first time around? Isn't Yaakov Avinu Yaakov Avinu? I mean, there's a shul, there's like a big shul, it says Milcha at 4 o'clock, and here's Yaakov Avinu walking by, and he says, not for me. When he gets to Haran, he says, oh, I might have made a mistake. I'm going to go back and daven Milcha. Well, I'll go back and daven Maariv. In fact, I'll invent it. That's what the Gemara says. So what are Chazal trying to... I mean, it's true that the story leaves a little to be desired. What is it that Chazal are adding here? What happened to Yaakov Avinu that he didn't daven, and what happened to Yaakov Avinu that he did daven? So the answer that I would like to, kind of share with you is the answer of the Likutei Halachos, Rav Noson of Breslov, right? So here it is, Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Tefillah, Tefillah's Mincha, Simen Zayin. We're going to try to, I'll read it, and I'll try to explain it. It's not hard, but not hard is always difficult. you know, hard is usually easier. This is not so hard. Ika kola tikunim heyadeh idarutu beletata kibiskan el tikunim. The word tikun, you know, for the Kabbalists, and not only for Kabbalists, but, you know, it's got a kind of, everybody understands that tikunim are something that we're able to do. We're able to fix things. The way we look at the world that we live in is that it's a little broken, and we do things to fix them. The main thing that we can do to fix the world that we live in is keeping the mitzvot. That the mitzvot are not somehow, in the eyes of the Kabbalists, are not just a Boy Scout manual on good living, whereas at the end, you know, somebody tallies up all of the good things, all the mitzvot you did, and gets you the proper place in Olam Haba. But that the mitzvot have an effect on the reality in which we find ourselves. That was the way the Kabbalists understood it, the Arizal, that that doing a mitzvah is more than just accepting the yoke of heaven. But it's an attempt, to fix things, to straighten things out. So he says, Ika kola tikunim, ikar. There's a fundamental principle that's connected to tikunim, fixing things in the world. Now, in terms of defining fixing things in the world, you know, like there's always this question, well, who exactly fixes them? I mean, do I fix them? Or is it that God fixes them because God is pleased by the fact that I'm doing the mitzvot? Like, the verb fix doesn't have an obvious antecedent. I mean, I fix because I do the mitzvot, but I don't really fix it. Hashem fixes it, right? It's an act of creation. And this, you know, we can argue about this without coming to a particular conclusion. But this is the word that that Rav Nosson is using. He can't call it tikunim, itaruta deletata. Itaruta deletata, itorerut mitachat. Itorerut means, refers to who takes the initiative. Who takes the initiative? Like in general, we would say that anything that has to do with the world, with creation, with fixing the world, that's God's business and not our business. And so there is this notion that was created to understand the relationship between me and what I do, and what ultimately God does to fix the world, and that's called Hit'orerut Milatachat. For some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs that, wants that, has determined that that will become the essential feature in the ongoing fixing of the world that we live in. And that's called Itaruta Dilatata. Now listen to this. This is called, what's coming up is called philosophy. Ki Hashem Yitbarach Rotze Tedaika Anachnu Navod Oto Mizeh HaOlam. He says, this is a truth that Rav Nachman repeated again and again and again. He says, there's no doubt that for some reason, which is not clear to us, and which answers the question, why, after all, did God create the world? Why was there a lack in the eyes of God, so to speak, that the world filled? I mean, if God is one, if God is perfect, if God is whole, if God is everything, then why did God create the world? And one of the possible answers, the answer that Rav Nachman liked, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to serve Him. Therefore, in other words, the world was created because that was not possible before the world was created. There was no one and nothing to serve God. Second line. Moshe Amar, the name of Rabbeinu, Lekama Me'anashav, and it was an oral teaching from Rabbi Nachman. Himayah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Atzalah, Avod Et Atzmo, Be'atzmo, Lo Yatzarich Otcha. That's how Rabbi Nachman put it. If God wanted to serve Himself, so to speak, by Himself, so to speak, then God would not have any need for us. for all of us. Avol zeyadua, line 3. Zeyadua shekashev kaved ma'od la'adam la'avod et Hashem yitbarach, ki'ayetzo ha'irah mitgaber mitpashet ma'od. So this may be really a further explanation that not only did God want man to serve God and to daven, but God wanted man to overcome Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is, after all, a very intimate feature. However you translate the words Yetzer Hara, you could translate it to psychology, you could translate it to sociology, you could translate it to physiology. You could translate it to any way you want, but it's going to stop you. It's trying to stop you from doing what you should be doing. That's what Yetzer Hara is interested in. Yetzer Hara, line 4, mitgaber umitpashet ma'od. Very strong. Very encompassing. Ubefrat akol mi sherotze lechnos ba'avod Hashem yitbarach, kemo she'amar rabotenu zichronam levracha, al ha-pasuk yigdil asot shepashat yado ba'gdolim. That the great people, right, also are subject to this problem. Ba'kein ba'echreach, the end of line 5, she'yiyeh siyura mile'ela. And therefore, there's this complicated setup. On the one hand, God wants us to serve God. On the other hand, God wants us to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And since for most people, especially great people, this becomes a very difficult thing to do, because their Yetzer Hara is greater than the Yetzer Hara of the simple people, Alkein Bechrer Shiyisiyu Mele'ela Alkol Panim. And therefore, there has to always be support from heaven. Whereas even though Itarutu Lekata means I do it, and even though it means that that's what God wants me to do, I recognize the fact that I really can't do it by myself, and God has to help me. God has to help me, and that's called Itarutu Me'alvigay Tzushim. Eiz Itarutu Alkein Mechreach, line 6. Alkein Mechreach, Itarutu Me'lamata, Alkol Panim. V'zeh yishal avin klal, lech hakol mimenu yitbarach v'abichayin tzuri daruta letata. This doesn't make any sense. Because on the one hand, we know that everything comes from God. And all the tikkunim and every fixing in the world has to come from God. And yet, in some way, daruta letata, the letata works. V'zeh yishal avin klal, lech hakol mimenu yitbarach v'abichayin tzuri daruta letata. Zeh, line 8. Nifla'ot tamim de'im kvo'ar be'zeh be'makom achay. This is the wonder of the pure heart. V'alkein yakar v'chashub ma'od etz Hashem yitbarach kol hit'orirut v'hit'orirut shekol adam mikol makom shiru. Therefore, it is very important to heaven that there's a hit'orirut. If I would try to translate this into the words that we understand, we know that everybody knows that suddenly, on some moment, there's a moment when we want to do a mitzvah. We want to do the right thing. It doesn't happen all the time. Very often we do mitzvot and we feel oppressed by them. Not terribly oppressed, but we feel a little bit oppressed. Like it's annoying, either you have to get up, or you have to sit down, or you have to stand up, or you have to make a big meal, or make a small meal. I mean, it's all, you know, everything is a mitzvah. Everything's a mitzvah. Not everything is so pleasant, but sometimes for everybody there's either a root. I mean, you feel good about the mitzvah of lulav or the mitzvah of matzah. You feel good about Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is kind of not in terms of taking a day off, but in terms of, you know, like you feel that this idea that you might have an opportunity to come closer to God on Shabbos than the rest of the week. You feel that sometimes. That's called either a root. Let's call it Orit. Everybody has it. Everybody has it. But the hit or root is not always enough. It's not always powerful enough. It's not always strong enough to change the world in which we live. So that hit or root, according to Rabbi Nosson, is buttressed by God. It's like God says, oh, you started something? I'll let you finish it. No matter what, you know, even though there's a Yetzer Hara that's going to try to convince you that you shouldn't do it, this time you're going to do it without the Yetzer Hara. You're going to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That's sometimes, sometimes what happens. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, you have to do tshuva. Tshuva? Tshuva is not an easy mitzvah. It's not an easy thing to do. Because even if you only uncover yourself to yourself, that's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to say, you know, I'm really not what people think I am. I'm not as good as people say I am. I'm not as pure as I like to think I am. Now that's hard. It's hard. It's hard to be honest. So look comes the Gemara, and the Gemara says, "Yom peacefully Pesach dechudo shel machat," which we're not nothing going to quote. He says, if you just open yourself up like the eye of a needle. Eye of a needle, that's something very small. Right? So God promises to give you an opening as big as the opening of a wedding hall. Pitcho shel ulam. So what is the important thing here? The important thing is that the hit over root leads to hit over root. This is an important idea that everybody had. That you shouldn't think that achievement is dependent on the entirety or the globality of your success. You shouldn't think that. You shouldn't just a little step in that direction will then be supported by heaven. So there is an option, there's an opportunity for itaruta dilatata, for itarut. I mean, because we all have it in our memory bank someplace. Something happened once. There was something that we appreciated. There was some good feeling that we had about davening, about Shabbos, about mitzvahs, right? There was some good moment that we had. And it comes up, it recurs from time to time. And that's the promise. God will help you. God will help you with that hitorut. And God helps you with that hitorut. Milamata, there'll be a hitorut lemala, and eventually a tikkun. That's the idea. Line 7. Zeh shalavin klal. Echa kol mimenu yitberach adichen shichim hitorut lezatata. This is impossible. Impossible to understand. That's how it is in religion. There are things, there are conundrums which are part of the religious personality. The religious person is not the person who has the answers to all the questions, at least certainly not according to Rav Nachman of Bratslav, but he's the person who is able to be religious in spite of the questions. Right? Kol ha'olam kulo, Rav Nachman said, gesher tzar me'od. What did that mean? Besides the fact that you all know how to sing it, but you all know what it means. The Gesher Tzar Me'od went over the abyss. It was like just empty. Everything under the Gesher was empty. You know, when you go into a place where you can't see anything, it makes your head turn. You get sick. Now, what is that abyss? That abyss is questions. How could the world be this way? How could it be that bad people seem to do better than good people sometimes? You know, etc., etc., etc. Ein lefachid. That's what Rav Nachman says. Kol ha'olam kulo, gesher tzar ma'od. Gesher tzar ma'od is made up of faith. Rav Nachman of Bratslav believed that emuna was the winning hand, and that emuna trumped safek. If I said that correctly. Faith? Trump is a word from a card game, right? Okay. I never went to one of those colleges. But emuna trumps question. In other words, it's not like an arbitrary thing you say to a kid, you ask that question one more time, you go to the principal's office, or something like that. You know, like, teachers don't like to answer questions, and because they don't know the answers. And they feel, very often teachers feel, if they sell children, they don't know the answers, they're source of mystical authority will disappear. This is not true. Usually children have respect for people who admit that they don't know something, or as often as not. The question, in other words, what faith means is that even though I don't know the answer, I know there's an answer. That's what the Gesher Tzar Ma'od. And Ein Lefachet means that you can't be afraid that the question is going to beat the faith. And once you're not afraid that the question will overcome faith, then you just walk on the Gesher Tzar Ma'od in great peace and tranquility. That was the position of Rav Nachman of Bratzen. Therefore, Rav Nachman didn't like philosophical works. The leading philosophical works that he didn't like was the Guide to the Perplexed. And as a result, he didn't like the Rambam. Because the Rambam gave the impression that things were within our ken to understand. And Rav Nachman thought that that was not the case. But faith was something, emunah, was something that you could have. You could definitely have emunah. And emunah was a lot better than answers to questions. Because as he understood it, you could have the answer to a lot of questions and still imagine that there's going to be another question that you're not going to be able to answer. So it really has to do with the way you imagine it, not the way it really is. So if you imagine, it's amazing. No one ever calls me. This is 301. What's 301 in America? I don't know. 301. No, it's 201. What? Who's 301? You're a world traveler. Okay, 301. Called at the wrong time. Line 8. Al kein yakar v'chashuv mod eitz Hashem yitbarach kol yitorut v'yitorut shekol adam yikol makom shehu. And therefore God values very highly hitorut, this awakening, this religious awakening. וכמובן הרבה מדברי רבותינו זכרונם לברכה בגמורה ומדרשים שהשם יתברך לבקש מישראל פתחו לי כמחת סיתקית. I mean, it's not the way it is to be gemara, this is what he said. סיתקית is what they call it in English, notions. You know what notions are? A notion store. They sell buttons and needles. Isn't it called notions? No? Huh? It is, right? So that's Sipkit. Sipkit is notions. So you get the needles from a notion store. By me, iftach lechem, kipitcho shel ula. Right, a big opening. Kitekev shadam itarer b'tfilah v'avodah b'emet kol shum itarer tekev itaruta de le'el harbeh. And you should know that whenever you daven, this is what happens. Right, it's noticed in heaven. Because we know that the Gemara says that if somebody wants to become Tahor, we help him. That's what the Rambam says, that when you go to a mikveh for Tahara, the mikveh really doesn't do anything. The Rambam says. The end of Hilchos Mikvaos, the mikveh doesn't do anything. What does it? The fact that the person wants to be Tahor. And the mikveh just focuses you on this, on this matter. And what are you doing? I'm becoming Tahor. I want to be Tahor. So it would be too difficult to just have everybody wander around. So the mikveh does that. V'ze ikar b'chirat ha'yichudim v'naseh mikol ha'tfilot v'avodot shehuma shem mityached itarut ha'leltatim v'atarut ha'le'elam. When we talk about yichud, we speak about the unity of God. So we speak about a kind of commonality of interest between the people who are doing the mitzvah, who are davening, and heaven, which is listening to what we are doing. Okay. So this was the introduction. This is like an introduction called Kabbalah, Efer 01, 02. We just learned all of Kabbalah. Kabbalah is an attempt to understand the notion of a living God. That God is interested in what we are doing. And that God responds to our attempts, though they may be feeble, to make things better. That's the Kabbalistic interest. To try to explain to me how this tension and this interactivity between man and God actually takes place. Not that there is a God, and not that God created the world, and not that God gave the Torah. Those are all static moments in history that indicate something about God, but something beyond that. We think that there's a relationship, that the things that we do are important, and that was the subject of the Kabbalah. Now, if you look at line 10, Vizek, now we'll get to our parsha. We have to get to our parsha, right? Otherwise, this is an exercise of futility. Vizek. Just 1 second. Line 14. Vizehi sig az Yaakov. And this is the story of Yaakov. He's the first one who understood this. Kishepaga b'makom ha'u. Paga. Vayivga b'makom. What makom was it that he paga? Shehu mikom beit hamikdash. He got to Haramoriah. Haramoriah is the place of Akedat Yitzchak, yes, but it's also the place of the Beit HaMikdash. Uchemuvan, lemaskil b'divrei rabotenu zichronam lebracha shamru, umadua lo ikbu shalvar sham. So Chazal asked this question in the Medrash. We didn't see this question in the Gemara, but the Gemara says, he went from Beit El to Haran. And then he thought, what am I doing here? I better go back and daven. So Chazal asked the question, how come the angels didn't stop it? How come nobody told him, listen, you're here at the Har Moriah, you better daven, you shouldn't go to Haran. He says, Madu loik vuk shavah shavah shivu, ihu lo yahiv da'ate litpalev, umin ha-shamayim yakvu, he, Yaakov Avinu, never thought of davening. So what do you think? Heaven is going to hold on to him and say, hey, Yaakov Avinu, why'd you daven in Maariv? Certainly not. Ihu ad Haran azal. He, Yaakov Avinu, went all the way to Haran. This line is missing in the Gemara that we learned. But it's in the Medrash. Kad moto l'shom amar. When he got there, when he got to where? We got to Haran, he said, I missed davening. I went to the Har Meharah. He said it. Yom da'ate le'mehadar. Natan da'ato lachzor. V'kafza lo ha'aretz. U'ba'a l'krato. And then the whole land, the whole earth folded itself up and suddenly he was in Har Moriah, pagah b'makom. So listen to Rav Nosson. How Rav Nosson understand this story? Hainu, kikol zman shelo yalo itaruta lenelatata. As long as Yaakov Avinu was not willing to take the first step in the direction of tefillah, litakev sham, lo ratzu lakvo min ha-shamayim. Well, they're going to force him to stop. They're going to force him to daven. That's not the way it works. Vazra ah godel otzem mitlaot inyani taruta little tata. And then Yaakov Avinu understood this great idea called itaruta little tata. Ada shenatan elibo lachzol l'sham v'tekim v'tarei itaruta little ela l'karvo ubama kol l'krato. That's called the Taruta de la Ela. The Kvitzat HaDerech, that came from God. That could only have come from heaven. V'azra Agodel Otzem Niflaot Inyani Taruta de la Tata. Then he understood what he had to understand, which is that you make the world as it should be, by the intention that you have. In other words, Yaakov was going on a sojourn, on a long trip to Chutz La'aretz, where lots of things would happen and change. And he had to understand that even though he grew up in the house of Yitzchak Avinu, and Yitzchak was a person who was always involved, apparently, with God, with prayer, with mitzvot, and Yaakov Avinu didn't have to do anything. He was totally a passive person in the house of Yitzchak. First Yitzchak told him what to do, then Rivka told him what to do, then Esau told him what to do. He was totally passive. He was a totally passive kind of a person, even though he lived in a very special world. When he left the house of Yitzchak, his father, he had to understand that it now depended upon him. And depended upon him in the language of Rav Nosson of Breslov is Itaruta Dilatata. That's what happened. Hazi Sig, line number 20, Hasig Ba'otzim Hasagato, Shigam, Yaakov Avinu understood, Shigam Kol Hitarut Vitarut Imke, Mikomot HaNefulim V'Archokim Ot, Gam Zeyakar Ot. And Yaakov Avinu was on the verge of making the colossal mistake, the error of all times. And that was, he was on the verge of thinking that God is responsive in a place, in a makom, in a place, the place of Yitzchak, his father, in a place called Har Moriah, where there was Akedat Yitzchak. But the reason that Yaakov Avinu did not stop to daven was because he knew that he was leaving that world. He was leaving Har Moriah. He was leaving the house of Yitzchak Avinu. And therefore, he was not certain at all that he would be protected in the same way under the aegis of God's will. That was Yaakov Avinu's issue. And when he got to Haran, he understood. Yahiv Da'atei L'Mehadar. Somehow Yaakov Avinu understood that he had to go back to that place to daven. And then Kotzolo HaDerech. And then he was given to understand that wherever there's an Itaruta Dilatata, no matter where you are, no matter how bad your situation is, no matter how it is that you're living in a place where Torah and mitzvahs do not rule or do not reign, nevertheless, heaven will be responsive. That's called Itaruta Litata. So that lesson, and it is a lesson. It's a lesson for us, naturally. But it's a lesson for Yaakov Avinu, who was going from a world in which even passivity was possible. It was possible for Yaakov Avinu to just say, Yachdav, just to be Yachdav, to be with Avram Avinu, not to be with Yitzchak Avinu. But when he was alone, he was frightened that that world that he had left would be gone forever. And this trip to Haran and back to Har Moriah taught Yaakov Avinu the language of the Nelson of Ratzlov, that if there's an Itaruta Dilatata, as weak as you think it is, as it is insignificant as it seems to be at the moment, is very much desired in heaven. And since it is so desired in heaven, the result will always be positive. And so after Yaakov Avinu went back to Har Moriah, he had a dream. And in that dream, from that dream, he understood that history was not coming to an end, that he was not going to Chutz La'aretz forever. But there were Malachim Olim, and there were Malachim Yordim. And one or the other set of Malachim is the guarantee that Yaakov Avinu will return home and reestablish the house of his father and his grandfather. Have a good Shabbos.